Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We got new swag, Luke Jones. A big thank you to Keith Miller and our friends at Strategic Factory. We'll be getting Keith on to talk about news. This is Patch. This is nice. I took the crab, a little Maryland, a little Baltimore, a little intelligent conversation. All of it brought to you by our friends at Taharka. I got the mint flicks and chills because this one's empty. I do have a full one in my freezer. I picked up some Recon earlier this week, some sweet potato crumble. The eggnog, they were mixing it and making it. They were churning it. They were literally dumping the whiskey in. I got there right around the right time. I got in there, dude's dumping like a gallon of, I'm like, hey, now we're talking. Taharka Brothers, we're giving you $15.70 off. You can order it one click on our website, straight on through. Use Baltimore Positive as the discount code upon checkout, and you'll have great ice cream at your door. Luke, in the aftermath of the Dallas thing, we've talked some football about the game, right? We've talked certainly about Dez Bryant and protocol and COVID and all of that. I want to talk to you about what's left with the team now. And as we get ready for Cleveland, and we'll have our Cleveland pants on, I'm going out to Cleveland, you know, all day this week, trying to figure out what made them 9-3. But this unlikely game where we go out there, we're sort of half-baked, and we don't know who's coming back and who's not. COVID notwithstanding, let's pretend Dez Bryant's in a bubble and he didn't slobber on anybody and none of the Cowboys are, you know, getting sick either, that we're just going to play. What does the team look like against Cleveland, Jacksonville, the Giants? What is this team going to look like if they're going to be a playoff team and win out or play Cleveland tough? What is the offensive line rotation? What is the defensive line rotation post-COVID? Because I'm not sure that I really know at this point with all the moving parts and bodies. At one point, my wife looked up when they put the lineups up on the Chiron, and you know, a Buck and Aikman are reading it. She's like, who are these guys? I don't even know who these guys are. I think there's going to come a point where the real football team might be coming back on Monday night for the most part.
Well, I think what we saw on Tuesday night is, you know, they basically had everyone from an offensive line standpoint at their disposal other than Will Holden, who had been elevated from the practice squad a couple times. He was still on the COVID list, but you know, Orlando Brown is the left tackle. We know that. Ronnie Stanley's not coming back. Bradley Bozeman's the one original, you know, from a position standpoint, the one original guy left from week one. So he's old reliable, I guess, in his third year, which is just crazy when you think about this. And Patrick McCary, we've seen as the starting center, COVID infection notwithstanding for him, and Cologne Castillo filling in against Pittsburgh, but you know, he's settled into that role at least for the time being. Matt Skura, we saw him again as a sixth offensive lineman at times. And then I think what's more interesting and what where there's still some question, I think, is on the right side of the offensive line. I mean, right guard, Ben Powers has played there a few weeks now. I think Ben Powers has played pretty well, considering, you know, there was a lot of excitement about him when they drafted him in the fourth round last year, but you know, I think he was a healthy scratch for all but one game last year. He played against Pittsburgh in week 17. And for all the talk of him being a candidate to replace Marshall Yanda, he was a non-factor in the competition during training camp. It was Tyree Phillips and DJ Fluker, really, as the two guys at right guard. So Powers has played there, started because of circumstance with the injury to Tyree Phillips, and I think he's done pretty well. He's not Marshall Yanda. None of these guys are. We know that. But it feels like he has a chance to settle in there, and he's played there a few weeks now, and it's gone okay for him. I think the biggest question is right tackle at this point. We saw Tyree Phillips draw the start. We saw DJ Fluker playing there still and some rotating, but
is Brian McKinney available? Yeah, he's still on my phone. I mean, it's after midnight, though. He's probably out. Yeah,
nothing good unless you're talking to him. He said plenty of good things happen after
midnight. I should call Brian and get him on. Brian brings me a good spirits, you know. It's always fun when I catch up with the old guys. That's why I'm chasing Kim Herring and Dave Zastittle around this week, you know.
No question. But I think that's the big question. And, again, when you look at what they did on Tuesday night, I already said it. Dallas had the worst run defense in the league. I mean, that is a horrendous defense. They've been that way all year. It's why Dak Prescott, before he had the injury, was throwing for 400 yards every week because they couldn't stop anyone.
Dude, I'm guilty. I did not sit and watch football all day Thanksgiving Day when it was Redskins. Like, I'm at the point now, even with sports, where, like, I'm not betting on it, right? And if it's bad versus bad – I don't know. It's kind of like watching a bad basketball game or a bad hockey game. I mean, it just doesn't have value for me to watch the Lions play somebody, you know, for 4 hours in the middle of my day, even though I still like sports and I still like good games and I like competitive games and, you know, I like close games and I like upsets and I like the Redskins beating the Steelers the other day. Excuse me, the Washington football team.
WFT
beating the Steelers. So, you know, I'm into all of that, but I didn't really respect how bad the Cowboys were going to be. I mean, once they were hot buttered like that, because as I mentioned, I love me some Mike Nolan, right? So I don't know what they proved on Tuesday night, but I'm assuming we're now looking at Monday as this is a playoff game.
Sure.
Play it like a play. They're going to play the rest of them, but you're playing a playoff caliber team. This is the kind of team, this is a team you will see. So I would have been saying to you for a couple weeks, especially when things, after the Stanley injury and I started to become a doubter, right? Mm-hmm. And then all the other things that have happened here the last month, I don't know that I'm a believer because they beat the Cowboys the other night. But I would say if they can play the Browns tougher, I'm wondering how this matchup works on Monday and viewing it more like a January 10th game. Because I had said to you, and I will still say to you, and I would probably still say to you if they beat the Browns on Monday, that I don't think this team, comprised, not as is, I'm talking about as will be, which is what this whole segment's about. This segment is about a healthy Calais Campbell and a healthy Brandon Williams and a healthy Marlon Humphrey, not a Nick Boyle's going to get up and walk around. No, no. Where they are, the best they can be right now, Ngakoue turns into like a real player and Bowser turns the corner and Judon shows up and just whatever that 6-1 team was or 5-1 team was a couple of weeks ago, even when they weren't firing on all cylinders, I don't see this team as capable of beating Buffalo, Pittsburgh, and Kansas City, or Kansas City, Buffalo, and Pittsburgh, or Cleveland, Buffalo, and Pittsburgh. You know, I don't foresee that right now as compromised, and maybe that's why I'm a little Eddie Fainter on all this, right? I mean, I said to my wife, we were driving back from Pizza John's at 10 after 7. I took Chris Pike, one of these fantastic sweatshirts that we got from our friends at Strategic Factor. I dropped him one off, and you got yours as well. And I said to my wife, we were literally crossing the Back River Bridge, coming back from Pizza John's. I dropped a veggie pizza off for my son. And I said to her, I said, man, it's an hour from – I looked up, it was 7:05. I'm like, it's an hour to game time. In the car, I'll be home by, you know, 7:25, have some pizza. I had a cheesesteak from Pizza John's. Thank you very much. We love everybody down. Everybody sees Michelle. Tell her thanks. We appreciate it. And I said to my wife, I'm like, this doesn't feel like a real game tonight. You know what I mean? It doesn't even like in – It feels like an exhibition game. And I said, I'm starting to get the Eddie Fainter blues that I have worried about. And part of the Eddie Fainter blues happens when you don't believe your team can win. Well, whatever that is. I mean, Washington football team fans in my life that gave up on their tickets 10, 12 years ago, like a lot of people did Orioles tickets here. So you can fall out of love, right? Like, it's possible that there may be a Ravens game sometime down the line that I might not even watch. I don't know that to be true, but I'm starting to get the vibe that it's not appointment and it's not everybody's got to be there. And then when you get there, what is it that you're going to see? And do you believe the team can win? They're a above 500 team. They flash greatness. They got an MVP. They've got a Super Bowl pedigree coach. They played really well with their backups last week against Pittsburgh. But as I sit here right now, Luke, I'm not a believer. You know, I never was a disbeliever. Even when Joe Flacco was planking, I wasn't a disbeliever last year. I'm in the disbelieving camp right now that they're not going to be the team that wins the Super Bowl because I don't think they're good enough. But they ran for 300 yards the other night, so that smells nice, right?
Sure, and I think it's easy to look back on 2012 now and say, well, you thought that it was possible. Very few people thought that. I mean, when they had lost three in a row and four of their last five going into January, I think, you know, there's always some recency bias. There's always being a prisoner of the moment. There's always looking back on something romantically. in terms of a championship caliber team, but very few people gave them a chance that year. Very few people were giving them much of a chance even at the end of 2000 when they had already stacked so many wins in a row to close the regular season. I mean, you know, they had won their last seven in the regular season that year. But I want to go back to one thing you mentioned about the Cowboys. I noted this at BaltimorePositive.com in my 12 Ravens thoughts going into the game. You can check out my most recent ones at BaltimorePositive.com. But the Cowboys, Nestor, you'll like this. Through their first 11 games, they allowed 359 points. Meanwhile, the Ravens have allowed that many in a full season. So 359 points in 11 games. The Ravens have only allowed that many points in an entire season three times, 1996, 2007, 2015. So that just shows you right there how god-awful that defense is.
Poor now, Mike Nolan. I'm praying for him.
Now, that said, I'm not going to sit here and try to say the Ravens should apologize for winning by 17 points in a weird environment. Tuesday game, no fans, rescheduled on the heels of the COVID outbreak. Still had some key players who were not back off the COVID list. So, you know, it's fine. But to your point, was there anything I took away from that game that made me more of a believer? Not really. It was good to see them run the ball. And look, I'll revise that a little bit. I liked what I saw from the offensive line. But that said, again, look at the opponent. Consider that defense. Consider how ineffective it was. You know, I would say, considering how poor that secondary kind of is anyway, and then you look at how many injuries they had in the secondary going into that game, Dallas, you'd like to see more out of the passing game. But again, Lamar coming back, barely practiced. He's down Mark Andrews and Willie Snead. He's down Dez Bryant then. I mean, it's hard to say. So it's a win. But as it relates to the big picture and where they stand, you know, in what, ninth place in the AFC? And, you know, if the season were to end today, it'd be Cleveland, Miami, Indianapolis. Las Vegas has a tiebreaker over them right now for conference record. I mean, they've got to go on a run here. But think about it in the big picture as it relates to January, not just getting in, but can you do anything? I think this team's capable of beating anyone other than Kansas City at this point, because I have to see it, because it's happened too many times where, you know, and they've kind of moved further away from beating them. If you look at the succession of 2018 last year and then what we saw in week three this year, each game has progressively gotten worse from a competitive standpoint. So I don't buy that. But as far as a single game, yeah, they can beat Pittsburgh. I think they can beat Buffalo. They can beat Tennessee. Can they do that three times in a row against any of those three teams? That's where I certainly have my doubts, and I'm not
They're not the better team as comprised. You know what I mean? There's no belief I have 12 weeks into this, them playing without Ronnie Stanley, the losses that they've endured, and other teams have endured losses as well.
Sure.
I mean, Pittsburgh doesn't have Devin Bush running around. Pittsburgh just lost to the Washington football team.
Bud Dupree.
Yeah, Bud Dupree, right? So, I mean, there's all of that.
Yeah.
But to go and face them in their building, let's be honest, and I don't know that it's going to matter from a fan.
I'm not sure how much that matters at this point, but yeah.
Probably matters more from a weather standpoint, whatever
bit.
The weather is that
little
day,
bit.
Right? You know, I mean, I would think that you would rather, if you're the Ravens, draw Las Vegas and go play in an empty place where it's 80 degrees than be thinking about being in Buffalo when it might be 12 degrees. I mean, snow would play into the Ravens' hand. I mean, a team that wants to throw the ball in bad weather conditions, you know, that really plays to the Ravens' benefit probably if Lamar can be a mutter and run around in the snow. I don't know. I mean, kids from Pompano Beach, I don't know how he'll take to a 9-degree day in Buffalo with the breath coming out and all that, but I'd like to find out. I mean, we've had the honor of playing those games in Ballmer the last couple of years, and that worked out so well, has it?
Yeah, and that's where you kind of come back as I don't want to throw a complete bucket of water on their Super Bowl chances, because again, I just mentioned all these teams you mentioned. I mean, even Kansas City. I mean, they're 11-1. Look, I'm not going to say the Ravens can beat Kansas City until I see them do it, because we've seen that movie a couple times now, several times. But
by the way, the movie we see is different than the one we see with them playing Denver, right?
Well, and that's the thing. They Kansas City, I mean, for as amazing as their passing game looks, and what, Tyreek Hill 2 weeks ago had 200 yards in the first quarter. I mean, the Ravens have had one receiver ever have 200 yards in a game, Kadri Ismail in 1999. I mean, no, it just speaks to how crazy that is. But you look up and it's a one-score game. It's like it's almost like they toy with teams. But that's something that can bite you. You know, if you've struggled to really step on an opponent's neck, so to speak, we've seen that can bite a team. So it's not as though, I mean, the AFC, you give Kansas City the credit. And look, if you're asking me, I mean, apologies to Pittsburgh. Great. They started 11-0, not even taking into account what happened to them against Washington. But, you know, I thought Kansas City was the best all along, even through an 11-0 start for Pittsburgh. I'll give the Steelers credit. I mean, 11-1 is impressive, regardless of what your schedule's been. But you go down the list, all these teams have flaws. None of these teams, including Kansas City, for my money, has shown the dominance that the Ravens did last year in the regular season at 14-2. There hasn't been that kind of juggernaut the way the Ravens got on that 12-game winning streak where they just looked unbeatable until Tennessee did it in January, and we saw how the Ravens woke up on the wrong side of the bed and played poorly. But they need to get in first, and that's where you look at this thing. And you know, we'll talk a lot about Cleveland. We'll continue to talk about the Browns in the coming days as we get closer to Monday night. But you do look at the field, and you know, you look at Cleveland's remaining schedule: Baltimore, at the Giants, at the Jets, home against Pittsburgh, Miami, home against Kansas City, home against New England, at Las Vegas, at Buffalo. You know, go down the list: Indianapolis, Las Vegas, and Tennessee and Indianapolis are duking it out for the AFC South. You know, there are losses on those schedules left. So it's not as though the Ravens have to win out and then really cross their fingers for help. If they win out 11-5, I'd place a very strong wager that they're in, no questions asked. The problem is if you get to 10-6. If you lose to Cleveland, or if the New York Giants, who suddenly, you know, they beat Seattle, give them credit for what they did on Sunday. The New York Giants come into Baltimore, and Lamar has a high ankle sprain the week before, isn't 100%. The Giants beat you. You know, in the same way the Ravens lost to New England. I mean, that was a game no one expected for them to lose. And you finish 10-6. The problem is you look at their schedule right now, and knowing that the primary tiebreaker in most cases, when you're not talking about a head-to-head, is what? Conference record. Ravens are 4-5 in the AFC right now. Right now, Cleveland 6-3, Miami 5-3, Indianapolis 4-4, Las Vegas 5-3. So if you're talking about what's usually the big tiebreaker in those kind of scenarios, if they do finish 10-6, you're nervous because the best they can do is 7-5. And you know, if you happen to drop one to Cleveland on Monday night,
you're 6-6.
6-6, and that's where it is tough. And I'm not ready to say definitively, because I don't trust any of these teams at a level where, you know, I think that there is, I mean, Cleveland's 9-3, give them credit. Great. Do I view them in the same way that I view most 9-3 teams in a given year? Probably not. Miami, Indianapolis, Las Vegas. Hey, good seasons. Good for them. Do I really trust any of those teams to go 4-0 over the final month of the season, or even 3-1 necessarily? You know, I have a tough time with that.
Look at that Raiders win the other day.
Yeah, I mean, my goodness. I mean, boy, talk about Greg Williams. Cover zero in that spot. I mean,
Greg Williams has coached his – that'll be the last play he coaches in the National Football
League. I mean, I've never seen anything like that. But my point is
– neither is Joe Douglas.
I'm not ready to write them off if they lose one more at 10-6. I don't think it's impossible, but it's hairy when you're talking about especially if you lose to Cleveland and you're 6-6 in the AFC with your conference record. And we know if Indianapolis beats out Tennessee, Tennessee has a head-to-head tiebreaker. Ravens do have a head-to-head over Indianapolis. So it's not as though it's, you know, all is lost, but it really feels if you want to be thinking about this team, you know, with your head hitting the pillow and you're feeling good about it, it's winning your last four and finishing 11-5. I mean, they'll get in. If they win their last four and they're 11-5, they'll get in. I mean,
well, that's a hell of a task. That's five in a row to get in. If they win five in a row, maybe they are capable of winning three in a row in January.
Well, and
I would feel differently about them at 11-5. And even if they just get by Cleveland and, you know, Jacksonville almost beats them and they need a late field, I don't care about how. I don't need style points. I mean, I really don't at this point.
And that's the point. And that's where we get...
You want style points. We got that last year. What the hell did that mean in January?
Well, but to go back to your point as far as whether you're a believer or not, part of that is getting in to begin with, right? I mean, you can sing... And I've seen people talk this way. I've seen people on social media say they think the Ravens are better than the Steelers. And look, there are areas where the Ravens are absolutely better than the Steelers. But what's the area that matters? Pittsburgh's 11-1 and the Ravens are 7-5. You know, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, it's not even close from a wins and losses standpoint.
But
so,
the field gets leveled for 60 minutes, and you get to come in on January, and,
no
you know,
question.
Something teeth, and you get a chance to play them. And, you know, I'll hear that all day long because of what Tennessee did last year. I mean, I've seen it with my own eyes,
sure.
Right? I mean, we go back to the two times we've won Super Bowls, we weren't sitting here on December 10th feeling like we were going to win, right? So, I this time last year, I'm on planes to Florida putting parties together. So, I know the difference
and
between
assuming they were going to win,
that
right?
That feeling that you have, that electricity that you have mm-hmm. about it, I don't have that about this team right now because they haven't given me any reason to have it, right?
Yeah.
And Monday night will be an opportunity to do that. Fine, Luke. I don't know if you're going to be in Owings Mills or not. I just like to say you're in Owings Mills. Go ahead.
I should be. I hope so. But one last thought. As far as your overall feeling there, I do think part of this is you weren't able to go to the game Tuesday night, like meaning fans. It was on a Tuesday night, which is weird. And it's a pandemic year. And look, this goes beyond the NFL, just our daily lives and things we take enjoyment in, things we can do, things we can't do that we enjoy. I mean, I think some of it, there's also just a mental fatigue in general that impacts things you enjoy. I've noticed, for example, I've told you a lot about how I've still managed to enjoy most sports. I've really struggled getting into college basketball so far this year. One, games are getting canceled left and right, but just watching it,
that's
it feels
my
like
issue. My
AAU.
Issue is it feels intramural, yeah. And that was the Eddie yeah. Fainer feeling that I didn't want for
sure.
football.
Sure,
and
sure.
I'm telling you, I'm a sports guy. I built my yeah. life around this, as have you, and people in our audience. And I just,
yeah.
I you know, it's a little down the Eddie Fainer lane for me.
Sure.
I don't want it to be, and I'm not going to Cleveland Monday, even though I still have a flight and a hotel. I mean, I've had to think this through and leaving my cat and my wife and the holidays and risks and, you know, COVID and Dez Bryant and getting out there and, you know, Baker Mayfield pops a positive, you know, and then there's a sham of a game. You know, because they'll play a sham game Monday night. If half the Browns go off the side of the cliff
probably
with COVID.
Move it to Wednesday.
Yeah, okay, fair. Yeah, and then what me being in Cleveland
right.
on Monday too. So I mean, all of it feels a little pretend for me, but when the action on the field isn't any yeah. good, there's a whole different level of like college football where 1 week, you know, Maryland's winning 60-3, the next week they're losing, say it beating Penn State. I mean, you know, it feels like an intramural. It feels like it's not real, and it won't be counted as real in the end, and your emotions about it aren't as real. The visceral part of being there is not real. You know, it's weird, and if they want to suck us in,
yeah.
they at least need to put something on the television. I shouldn't even say on the field, because it doesn't matter whether it's ice, court, field, lake. I don't care where, you know, where your sport is. I saw breakdancing is going to be in the Olympics. That's kind of cool. we'll be doing virtual games. You know, your grandkids will
yeah,
be like watching sports on some AI thing. I don't know.
Playing Madden
or whatever they call it. They're playing Jackson, playing Lamar or Mahomes, whatever they're calling it at that point. Belichick for the eggheads. I would say that I want to be all in that way, and I know the difference,
yeah.
right? You know, yeah. and – Monday night, I'm not going to go to Cleveland. I'm going to put the game on. This is a little bit of a Fonzie and a Shark thing for me because I want to see a good football game on Monday night the way I should, a 7-5 and a 9-3 and a Cleveland-Baltimore yeah. in a game that we've waited a generation to have a meaningful game, right, that we have to win. We're the underdogs. And going in there and seeing what kind of dog the Ravens have in them on Monday night. They had some dog in them last week in Pittsburgh. They did.
Yeah.
And they won by 17 points
sure,
on Tuesday.
Sure.
So I don't know why I'm so dour,
right.
you know, about all of it. But I just don't see a championship team here right now.
And that's fair. And some of what you mentioned, again, is part of just the inevitable baked-in part of this where, you know, they're going to go Monday night and they might play a classic, but it's not going to be a full dog pound, right? I mean, it's not going to be a packed stadium. And can you imagine what that environment would be like? I mean, forget about the Ravens Browns thing, just how rabid that fan base would be.
That same guy that sits in front of us at every game at the club level, like, that turns around and gives me the finger and has a different shirt on where he puts the tape over it. I think it was originally a couch, you know, and he's just put different, you know, one year it's Garcia, the next year it's Dilfer. 20 years of that. I'm with you. Like, I'm okay with them being good. Messina came in here and, you know, doused off the AFC North the other day by saying the best part of Cleveland and Baltimore is having the state of Ohio in the conference because they've, you know, been their whipping boys. This is a chance for Cleveland to step up and the Ravens to step up and play a real Monday Night Football game. I'm almost excited about it, in much more so than I was about Dallas the other night. If I can get that feeling back and the fans can get that feeling back and we can get a good football game in, maybe we can stop the tape in the middle of Fonzie going over the shark and pull the thing back and say, that was probably a stupid episode. We shouldn't have done that. We shouldn't have played a game with half the football team 2 weeks ago.
Well, and that's where the Ravens have a great opportunity here. I mean, think back to how they handled they beat Cleveland soundly week one, regardless of the fact it was empty stadium. And yeah, you can talk about Kevin Stefanski being a brand new head coach. And we know what the challenges were in the spring and the summer for any team, let alone a team with a new coaching staff and lots of turnover and what have you. But, you know, if the Ravens go out there and they beat Cleveland, and let's pretend for a minute they beat them soundly, then expectations change very, very quickly then. You know, if Lamar Jackson in this passing game looks like it did week one against Cleveland, boy, the excitement level, not saying it's Festivus automatically, but I think some of what you're mentioning, which I don't think you're alone in feeling that way as far as having doubts and whether you really think a championship run is plausible given some of the injuries they've had and some of the deficiencies that they have at this point with personnel and any concerns, coaching, whatever. But you go on the road and beat a 9-3 team, and let's say you do it somewhat soundly, let's say, then buckle up because things get that much more exciting because then you're reminded of, you do that, home against Jacksonville, home against the Giants, at Cincinnati without Joe Burrow and some other guys that they've lost to injuries. I mean, it's sitting right there to finish 11-5 and to not just get in the playoffs, but to get in the playoffs and easily envisioning yourself as what the Titans did last year, or thinking about where, you know, any team you can think of, the 2000 Ravens who had won 7 in a row going into the postseason. I mean, then you start to think about it, and then the narrative is much different than try to win a game. At that point, if you do that, people are starting to get those feelings about from last year, not what happened against Tennessee, but how it felt before that. We'll see how it plays out, but it is a massive one for both of these teams on Monday night. For Cleveland, I think psychological as much as anything. For the Ravens, they need to have this football game.
Luke will be around talking all things Browns and Ravens, as will I. Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. We have the whole new Baltimore Positive swag. We're selling some Taharka ice cream for $15.70 off. You go out, make sure you're delivering it. Gift it. Give it away. It's a $40 gift. If you love someone, send them an 8-pack of Taharka ice cream and pick them out some sweet potato crumble. I keep wanting to say casserole because that's what my mom made it with the marshmallows and stuff, but this has a crumble in it. It is delicious, and it's a Tarka Brothers, and we're doing that. Our friends at Pizza John's fed me the other night with some pizza. I had a mushroom and pepperoni. The best part of getting a pizza, Pizza John's, you bring it home. You can't eat the whole thing, so you put half of it away. I get the pizza stone out, and who knows, Friday, Saturday, I'll have some more. So it'll be all good. Luke's going to be out in Owings Mills. If there's any breaking news, you'll get it first in our WNST tech service. That's all brought to you by Coons Ford Security Boulevard. Dennis will be here Thursday and again on Sunday morning, getting you ready for Monday Night Football as it comes back. So the big week around here, right? Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, and Aaron Andrews running around Monday night. We get the ESPN crew in here. We'll see how that goes. I am Nestor. We are WNST.net, AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. Never stop talking. Baltimore positive.